It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not so humble host, Jonathan Barnett. The promo was wrong this week because Aaron is not joining me, but we do have a lovely special co-host joining us, friend of the podcast, Wendy Hansen, joining us this week.
Hey, you guys.
Just me. It's just one guy. So you're the other guy, I guess. I don't know. What's when we put it into production here, it's just us this week. It's always wonderful to have Wendy with us, especially pitchers and catchers have reported. So we're definitely right up in your wheelhouse at this point. So it's great. We'll say I even wrote it down this week because I always forget the numbers on yours. But you can follow Wendy on Twitter at Wendy Lou Who 3, the number 3. Wendy with an I. L-O-O-H-O-O, number 3. And you can follow this podcast itself. The podcast has a Twitter following here, and it's at Scotty Johnny Pod. And you can follow me at Not So Humble Host. If you were so inclined to follow Aaron and the just maniacal rantings of a madman frequently, you can follow him at Cheddar Talk if you would like to do so. I'll promote him even when he's not here. Aaron's busy with... You know, if you've seen the movie Stripes, which if you're my son, you're not old enough to watch that movie, but he's doing army training. So he's got, we were talking about this before, just Wendy and I, he's at what's called a Cub briefing. And I was very unhappy that I can't quite remember what that stands for. The joke we heard from my buddy, Justin Dwyer is he's like, there's just a lot of TLAs in the army. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, three-letter acronyms. I was like, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm going to use that for the rest of my life. But yes. So Aaron's at some training, but we are blessed and fortunate to have such wonderful friends of the podcast here that Wendy can step in. And I don't know, Wendy, can you give me the insane off-topic feed that Aaron would normally do? Like, John, quick.
So, I can try. I can definitely try. Yeah. It's like,
right when I'm
saying, Minnesota bashing in there.
Right. Just when I say like, okay, and now moving, it's like, no, John. Hold on a second. I want to go back to what we said 20 minutes ago. And I have a small point. It's related to Chuck Cecil, and I just want to tell you about it. It's like, all right, man. I mean, Aaron doesn't have a clock in front of him. I do. I'm looking at it and keeping him on task is difficult.
What was it last week? The George Webb, the burger.
Oh yes, the burgers.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Yeah,
that was good. I've never been there either. I always see the signs, and you always hear that when you're listening to the game. You get the George Webb if they get to the was it the five rounds where you can get the $5 burger thing. I was like, that sounds amazing. I'll never do that because if I'm in Milwaukee, I'm not going there next day. Generally speaking. And I'm usually going home after the game because I don't live in Milwaukee. So, but yeah, that would be fun. The other ones that I know of, Culver's has a special with Badger Hockey. If there are 5 goals, there's was it like a $1 scoop or a free scoop of custard the next day for anyone with a ticket. So, yeah. So they always chant at the when they get to 4 goals, there always be the student section like, we want ice cream, which is, of course, wrong because it's custard.
Custard, yeah.
It's custard. It's not ice cream. But all right. There we go. We did it, Wendy. We've stalled long enough to have a decent opening. We did it. All right. We'll get going with everything here. Before I start, I do want to say, remember, of course, to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. Thank you to all of our wonderful listeners here and around the world. All the many different people listening, and we've had Germany. We haven't had Italy yet. That's a goal, I guess. We had Spain 2 weeks ago and added people throughout Central and South America. So we're feeling our oats right now. We're feeling very good. And of course, Ukraine loves us. I don't know why, but
Ukraine, huh. That's interesting.
It's several different downloads in the Ukraine, not the Ukraine. I'm sorry, in Ukraine. I don't want to offend my Ukrainian listeners and calling them the Ukraine, because they're not. It's just in Ukraine. But all right, we'll move on into actual sports talk here in what we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, just because we have the time to do it at this point, we have a little bit of Packers news. It's not huge. Christian Kirksey, Ricky Wagner, former Badger Ricky Wagner, been released. Very predictable. It's probably what every single person saw coming. I'm sure they were already looking for houses. It's cost-saving measures. If you watch this team, they were both great contributors for this team, right? I mean,
they really were. Kirksey, they came aboard right as free agent signings last year. Yep. Both him and Wagner. Kirksey started 11 games for the Packers. I think he had 448 snaps on defense. Holy wow. And 77 tackles, which, you know, really, really good. His injuries, though, just plagued him, and that's really what his downfall was.
You just came at me with numbers. Normally
I did my research. I'm on it, John.
Normally, I'm just throwing numbers at Aaron just to see what happens there. But yeah, no, fantastic. Holy wow. They were both. I mean, Wagner had to get pressed into service a fair amount with the number of injuries that happened. He had to play in the playoffs, obviously, without having Bakhtiari on the other side there. So it was, they were very, very key to some very big plays throughout the playoffs. And a lot of things you didn't necessarily see as splash plays. Packers didn't get killed by tight ends quite as much as they did last year.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, the last 2 years, tight ends murdered the Packers. Just remember everything that George Kittle did to the Packers last year. But the thing people would maybe miss is how much he did there. It was great to have them. These cuts make sense. It's just, it's just business. It's just, nobody's glad to see them go unless you're an absolute turkey. Just like if you're a horrible person, you're like, yeah, get out of here. I haven't seen that, at least, thankfully.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that either.
Good. So those people are the worst, because they're definitely out there.
Yeah.
So that joins up with a little bit of reworking of David Bakhtiari's contract, like we talked about the other week. Apparently, there are some talks about restructuring A-Rod. Rodgers, at the end of the year there, he talked about restructuring his contract himself. There's two parts to this. First off, it's good for the team because they can move his bonus down the road and free up money now to do a couple things here and in the next year or two. But the other thing is, if the Packers are on the hook for pushing that cap money down the river, then in a couple of years when we're like, hey, we have this other Jordan Love cat, and we also still have to pay Aaron regardless, maybe we get rid of Love. It's setting it up. It's the fun story that will be happening in about 2 years, where they're going to be like, well, we have Love, and we're going to have to make a decision about that fifth year when he gets to that fourth year of his contract.
Exactly.
And at the time that they're looking at trying to pay him what will be transition tag money based on the year he was drafted, which is going to be 25 or something like that. And you don't pay $25 million to a backup. And if you still have money, you're going to be paying Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you just don't keep Love. There are definitely going to be some people who will spin it as a spiteful move by Rodgers to try to push that money down the road to guarantee he's still on the team in a couple of years. I don't know. I think it's smart. Either way, I mean, it's a business.
Yeah. It is... oftentimes very hard, for sure, but at the end of the day, it is a business, and they have to look at the bigger, grander picture.
At my job, I'm pretty sure for your job too, they don't just hire my replacement and say like, hey man, any day now it's gonna be this guy. But like, if there's somebody else hired, they're just a coworker of mine who has their own position. They're not like the backup to me, the backup prosecutor or whatever. It's like, no, they get that job. So the Packers making several moves here to try to free up money. Obviously, they've talked about Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has been brought up a lot. Jamal Williams today said he wants to stay in Green Bay his whole career if he can, which is, of course, what you say when you want to make sure that when you leave, it's not your fault.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yep.
But I don't know. I think that there's a better chance they can keep Jamal just because he's not going to get the kind of money that Jones is going to get.
Exactly. Yeah. I was looking into the Lindsey Jones debate specifically, and both are, you know, they're getting up there in age. Lindsey specifically, I think he's going to be 30 next season. And Jones, I don't think that the Packers can give him what he deserves. And he deserves a lot. I mean, he's an incredible player, but it's going to be hard to match, you know, for running backs. It's just going to be hard to be able to pay that for him.
Somebody's going to offer him $12 million a year, $13 million a year, almost certainly. Based on kind of where the numbers are now, that's kind of where he would fall, I'd think. If he gets 15, then, I mean, that's just the end of the day. That's just the end right there. But, I mean, the big thing is you just can't afford to pay that at this point. He doesn't have quite the wear that somebody else coming off of their 4 years would normally have. But neither does Jamal Williams, and he's not going to get nearly as much attention in the free agent market because he has been the second guy. But yeah, they already have one guy. There's several guys in this upcoming draft who are interesting, and you don't want to look. I mean, they're not going to get somebody like Etienne because somebody's going to take him in the first round. Mm-hmm. But I know our friend Paul Noonan has several people he's looked at, and a couple of which also line up at wide receiver, and that's something that's always interesting to look at. So we'll dive more into several of them later. There's the kid from Florida. He's not probably a first round pick, but he's going to be somewhere where. Could at least be interesting to see what they would do there.
Yeah.
Either way, they're freeing up money. You and I are definitely also following the saga of J.J. Watt.
Yes. Much to my demise, I am. Yes.
Staying up late, just trying to analyze footprints in the snow today is what was going on.
God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For anyone who isn't following, Twitter stalking and IG stalking JJ Watt like I am, and possibly Wendy is, he took a photo on Instagram today of his own footprint in the snow, and they're like, okay, people are tracking plane movements. Where is this snow? Everybody find out who has this much snow. Is he in Pittsburgh? Is he in Green Bay? Where is he? Like, I don't know. It's just so fun. But yeah, I mean, nobody else is a free agent yet. He's in a very weird spot in that most free agents won't get to start that until the actual season begins, the league year, which I believe is the 15th or 17th of March.
Yeah.
But JJ was released, so he doesn't have to wait. He's one of the few people who actually is in free agency right now because he was released. So he's going to take his time. Why wouldn't he? I love the idea. Somebody's trying to float it today that the Bears are the front runner because, you
know, my gosh. Yeah. I saw that. Because his wife plays soccer, right? In Chicago?
She does. Yeah. That's the only thing that would make that make sense.
The only thing. Yeah.
Shoot. What's the name of the team? We had this last week. I can't remember the name. I remember the one team was named the Chicago Fire because they're the only team named after a specific tragedy. the Chicago Fire is not just. One fire, it's the fire, not like the Hurricanes, which are just named after a type of tragedy. It's a specific tragedy.
Wow.
I can't remember the women's team, and it's driving me nuts. I knew it just last week because I was looking that up for, which it's like the Rampage or something. Shoot. Either way, yeah, his wife plays there. It would be definitely good that way, I guess. They'd both have much shorter commutes. They could live very close to where they were. But I mean, he's going to go to, and if he's tired of losing, you don't go to a team that plays against Aaron Rodgers twice, doesn't have a quarterback answer. They just don't. Is trying to convince the entire world that David Montgomery is elite, which is hilarious. My favorite part of Twitter.
Gosh. Yeah.
So I don't see that. I think that that's just other people trying to stir everything. I don't know that the Packers are front runners. And I'm not, wherever he goes, I'm still going to be happy for him. Like, I'm never going to be against J.J. Watt. He was playing at UW when I was in law school, and I went to every one of those games for 3 years of law school. I was at every game. So I will continue to love watching him play wherever he goes. He's my man crush. He's my spirit animal.
He is. I mean, it makes it all the sweeter because he is a genuinely good human being, and you love to see, you know, the athletes that you look up to who are incredible on the field, also just the best people. Yeah. I will always love him.
And did we just have back-to-back Badgers as NFL Man of the Year award winners? Because
we did.
JJ,
yeah.
Followed by Russell. I was like, man.
Yep.
We can pick him at UW. Even if we only had 1 year of him, we'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna duck into. We're going to pull out of our nosedive later with some Brewer stuff, but we're going to duck into this hard right now because we're going to take our unblinking look at Wisconsin's basketball. Last week's podcast was called Basketball Blues, and it continues. It just does. If you want to see the saddest one right now, sadly, the team that beat the Badgers early in the year and felt very, very good about themselves, Marquette Golden Eagles, did get a win this last week against Butler, which ended up with the, you know, penultimate and the third to worst teams in the Big East playing each other. And Marquette came out a big winner in that one. I mean, Theo John finally has a really good game here and helps pull them through. I don't understand how with Garcia and Theo John, they don't just attack people down low.
Completely dominate? Yeah.
Those two guys are big, and they play physically too. They do. Like I wish Reavers would do. I don't know. I don't know how it works there. It's just, they just kind of, it seems like they'll play three different stretches of a game. And I don't understand them. I don't understand what the theory is to their game or what their plan is. I'm sure Woj has some sort of idea, but there'll be a stretch like, we got to get it inside. Then they'll do it and it'll work. And they're like, okay, cool. Now we got to really work on driving to the hoop. You're like, why do we have to do that? I mean, and it works a little bit. They've got a decent point guard drive game, but it's like, why did you have to get away from things? They're just, I don't understand this team. They have enough talent. They should be able to kind of push their way towards, you know, a low seed or something in this tournament. They're not going to see the tournament.
No, they're not. And it's frustrating because, yeah, the talent is there. They're just not coming together and doing it. Like, it boggles my mind.
Yeah, I didn't think that Marcus Howard had this much of that team on his back. So that's, it's frustrating. It's definitely a frustrating thing when you look at this Marquette team at 10 and 12, ninth in the Big East. Was it 6 and 10 in the Big East? Yeah, right behind Georgetown, Providence, and St. John's. So,
oh,
yeah, Georgetown. That would have been really great in 1985 to be right just a game and a half behind those three teams, but not right now. In terms of the other teams, the Badgers just, I don't understand. Like, I thought there were periods where it was like, what's happening is they're just having a dry streak in their shooting. They'll be fine. No, they're just not. That Iowa game, I mean, they got down big at halftime. They came back. They had this giant run to try to get themselves back to, I think they were down by 4 at one point, or, you know, 4 and 6. They were right in there for a bit. And I would just walk back away from them. Just walked away. Luka Garza is so fun to watch, though. That made that game worthwhile because that guy, he can jump shot from where he wants to. He can back you down. He was 11 of 19. He had 30 points against the Badgers in that game. And him and Potter going at it together was very fun to watch. But yeah, nothing else in that team is working. Badgers shot 30% from the field in that game.
Wow.
How are they in it? They were shooting 30. Iowa shooting 51. 51 is, I mean, that's decent. That's right where you want to be.
Yep.
They shot 30% from the floor? How does a team do that? They scored 62 points while shooting like that. Weisskamp was just murdering the Badgers too. I'm remembering now too. Yeah, he's 5 of 6 from three. It just seemed like the Badgers would go down. They'd get a big, like, energy going, just 3-pointer. We finally saw Davison show up. He's been MIA all season. And he finally goes 5 of 8 from three. every time he hit a three-pointer, there was Weisskamp hitting one right after him, or Garza or whatever. Somebody hit a three after every one of Davison's threes. It was uncanny. just could not find ways to get anything going in this. Just nobody could. I'm looking at these individual field goal from the game. 0 of 6 for Wall. Reavers, 2 of 4. 2 of 4. He's hitting 50%. Aleem Ford, 2 of 10. Davison, 5 of 11. Trice, 3 of 15.
Oh, ouch. Oh, my gosh.
And he ends with 11 points because he did enough to drive to the rim enough to get 3 free throws, and he was 2 of 8 from 3. It's just unbelievable how badly this team is shooting right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you the biggest thing when I watch this team, I don't know what your thoughts are. I'm used to watching Bo Ryan's offense. It's been a long time of Bo Ryan's offense, and this is his guy. I mean, quite literally, he tricked Barry Alvarez into having to hire his guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
this is where he got this job, because Bo Ryan quit in the offseason, and then they said, you know, you're going to hire my assistant here, right? And he's like, well, we're going to have an actual hiring process. I'm Barry Alvarez. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm the godfather here. and Bo Ryan was like, well, maybe I don't retire yet then. Maybe I'll give my guy a little more chance here. And he came back and he coached like 10 games and then retired. And then they had to put his assistant in, and he did well enough down the stretch. He earned having this job, and he's done fairly well with a lot of things. Like like I said last week, the season he had last year, he gets full credit for that. He was great.
Oh, absolutely.
And then he also has to take credit for what's happening now. They don't move without the ball. There are times you'll watch this, there are 5 guys standing at the 3-point line, and I don't know what that means. It's like, what is this? I have never seen that. And then a shot goes up, and there's nobody even boxing out because nobody's within 15 feet of the hoop. I don't know, Wendy. What do they got to do here, Wendy? It just looks so strange to watch this team now.
They just look very disjointed, and it's almost like when they get on the court, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, they just don't know what they're doing. And it's a shame because, I mean, their offense is great. They just aren't doing it in a way that's putting points on the board. Like, they're not playing in a competitive way, which is such a shame. It's such a, you know, turn from how they were playing last year. So it's very hard for me to watch this, and it's a completely different team.
Yeah. It just looks like they're not running the offense.
No.
And at the beginning of the year, the biggest thing that helped when they were running really well, and towards the end of last year and beginning of this year, was you said, you know, Trice is running the offense, because his biggest problem is hero ball. And he's doing it all the time now. And then he's, was it 3 of 15 something, or 5 of 18?
15.
Yeah. It's just like, you can't shoot like that and keep shooting. So I don't know. Then the Badgers did get a win against Northwestern, but my goodness, if you can't beat the team that's 3-13 in the Big Ten, then just get out of here. Just get off the floor, because what are you even doing? The Badgers got their shooting percentage up to 41.4 for this game. 41.1, pardon me. But yeah, I mean, Northwestern shot 40%.
Yeah.
So it's just like, we did enough
barely
defense.
Certain by.
Enough defense to beat a bad team. I mean, beat them by 17. Yeah, 68 to 51. I mean, they only got 51. So, you're going to win that game if you can keep them to 51. Badgers just aren't scoring. Even in this one, I'm seeing like Reavers, 1 of 6. Aleem Ford, 0 of 7. Davison right back to being 3 of 10. Yeah. Trice was 5 of 6 in that game, though, and he had 13 points. But, I mean, Reavers has just been nothing this year, and I don't understand it. I don't know what they need to do, but they need to learn how to coach big guys again, because Potter, there is a dark, angry part of Potter, and you see it frequently during games, which is nice because you like to see that kind of edge. Reavers doesn't have that. I was joking with my I coached freshman football for the last couple of years over here in Wisconsin Rapids. Last couple of years, sometimes I'm sitting over, I was like, "You guys are really nice. You're a really nice bunch of young men on the defensive line." And I have to tell you, when you put the helmet on, forget how nice you are. You need to find all the dark, angry spots of your body and just bring them out. Like I was like, it's okay. Everybody has the deep, dark thoughts, and this is where they're okay to put them out. Like, you have to have an outlet. Yeah. I mean, as an adult, you find a different outlet for all your anger and whatever else you're doing. But I mean, if you have that, and especially teenage kids, obviously, teenage boys are full of rage. It's like, okay, you guys are angry all the time. Why don't you act like that when you're playing football? Like, come out here and do something, you know, mean. I was like, where is that with Reavers? Like,
yeah.
He's been playing basketball his whole life, basically, right? And he's a tall guy. He's always been able to do things. I just don't understand why he just doesn't have the physicality to just take over a game ever. This year, yeah. I haven't seen him once just take over a game and be, you know, like everybody has to stop what they're doing and change the defense for him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's games where
he just scores. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's games where he scores, but it's not games mm-hmm. where he takes over.
Yeah.
All right. I don't feel – there's nothing feeling good about where they are right now in terms of the next several games because that was the last easy one they've got.
A while.
Hey, you want to hear something fun, though? I was looking
– Always.
Yeah. Here's ESPN and Joe Lunardi. They have the Badgers as a 5 seed.
A 5. Oh.
Playing against Western Kentucky currently, they say. So,
all right.
Only 3 games left this year. Oh. They're all bad. Number five, Illinois, at Purdue, ooh. And then at number 9, ooh. Iowa. You're like, jeez. just work on some rotations or something, man. Just, I don't know. Just yeah. You got to do something else. Just practice because mm-hmm. use these games as practice because you're not getting that. 5-12 seems like the perfect way to put the Badgers out there. Give them something where they're projected to be a higher seed and then watch them lose in the typical 5-12 game to the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Jeez.
Woof.
Yeah. They got them in the same bracket as Baylor, too.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. That's a rough road.
That's generous.
That is generous. It's like a 5. I guess they're ranked 21 now, but I was like, and I guess what you give them is the Big Ten is crazy good. That Michigan-Ohio State game the other day was incredible.
Oh, my gosh. I was floored. Yeah, yeah. That was so good. College basketball.
It's great to go watch good college basketball. I did this just over the weekend. I watched Houston play against Cincinnati, and I watched Michigan-Ohio State, and I was like, ah, these are fun. Why do they move way faster than the Badgers do on defense? Their rotations are so much better. Their defensive rotations, they're cutting under the screens. Everything they were doing on defense, I was just like, man, why do they let them move like this? Is it okay? Is that a thing you can do?
Is this legal?
Jeez. And that Houston team, man, do they offensive rebound. Holy wow. That team was impressive. Anyhow, just watching good basketball is kind of fun sometimes if I have to get away.
Yeah.
The Bucks have been playing good basketball recently. And by good, I mean like they got 2 wins here since we were last talking. Well, I think they beat Oklahoma City since they lost to Toronto twice. We watched the first one while we were recording last week, Aaron and I. And then 2 days later, they lost to Toronto again. Just whatever it is about that team that just owns the Bucks. I don't even know what it is. They don't have big size. They don't have.
Yeah, no, they really don't.
I don't. They just Nurse is just a much better coach than Bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's all I can think of on this. I can't look at Toronto's roster and feel like they're the more talented team out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a. the thing with the Bucks right now that I'm finding is that there's a lack of fit between the personnel and the defensive scheme. Okay. I heard that they're thinking of bringing in maybe PJ Tucker from the Rockets to kind of revamp that defensive piece. But there's just, there seems to be this disconnect there. Huh. And it all kind of started to happen when Bud, you know, after the first two seasons with Bud, I mean, there's obviously going to be those growing pains. Right. But I think it's rearing its head now more than last year, which is strange. So I don't quite know what's going on this year. Of course, the Holiday with him being out, that's obviously hurt them, but.
Definitely. No, I think you're right there. That was a really good point. I just hate looking at the schedule and seeing five straight losses for the Bucks. There, it's just that's an unbelievable stretch from last year to this year to see this team able to lose five in a row. Yeah, that's always an interesting point. I think the other thing, tell me if you completely disagree with me. Obviously, they made a bunch of changes this year too. They added some people. They had to let some people go. They made big things. The big hope we always had was like, well, these are growing pains. They'll work the rotations out. There's too much talent here to not figure it out. We're good ways into this now. I mean, what is Bud got to do? Yeah. I guess at this point to get them to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're allowing something like 115 points or 100 possessions. I think that's like 17th in the league, which compared to last year, we were well and above beyond what we were. So I don't know
it looks like it's 112.1 points per game for the opponent right now.
For the opponent right now, okay.
They're getting 119.2. They have the highest highest point differential in the league, but it's like, you know, they do these weird things where they'll just blow out one team and then they'll just, you know, they'll score 98 against Oklahoma City and somehow win. That game is terrible. Oh. But yeah, I mean, like,
that hurt myself.
the Jazz are the only team with a higher point differential. I mean, it's an average, obviously, so it's over the long run, but yeah. But then again, this is what cures what ails you here is, after five-game losing streak, play Oklahoma City, Sacramento, Minnesota, and New Orleans at home. Like, just not a single one of those teams has a winning record. You wouldn't know it from listening to the hype videos for the Pelicans, but they're not winning.
They're Pelicans. They're Pelicanting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the NBA is selling players rather than wins or losses or scores or anything, so Zion Williamson is selling tickets. They'll promote the Pelicans like crazy, and they have a losing record. You know, like, that team is, where are we at here? 11th in the West. They're 13-17. They have a negative, their point differential is negative 0.3 on average. So they're right there at basically nothing. They'll get to play Minnesota after Minnesota fires their head coach. So, that's not a spot you find yourself in the middle of a regular season.
Not so much. No.
But yeah. So at least at this point, it's something where you get a little breathing room. Giannis said something. I just saw this on Twitter a couple hours ago here before we recorded. And he said they're looking at letting in something like 10% capacity for fans. Oh. And he said, well, yeah, it's like this is huge on us. We're a team that really feeds on having our fans and all that. He's like, it's going to make a big difference. I wonder how much of that's true. Like, you know, Giannis definitely has, you know, the mean mugging, which we all you know, love seeing him just get into that rhythm where he's really feeling it. Mm-hmm. Is fans a big problem here for the Bucks?
You know, I thought about the fans being a big factor, but then you think about last year and the tail end of last year's season, they did kind of see that slump, and that was when there weren't any fans allowed. So it well could be just that energy that they're not getting from the fans. I mean, I totally could see that being a big reason why.
I had that idea somewhere just watching some of this, but I kind of poo-pooed that as like, I'm being a fan saying like, no, if we were there, you know. But I mean, having Giannis say that, it gives some credence to it. I don't know how true it is and how much of it's in my head and his head, which I love that there's an idea that's in his head and my head.
Yeah. Synchronicity.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. There's a couple tough games right there. They'll get the Clippers and the Nuggets right after they get through this little 4-game stretch of health. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like you said, like you're just saying like the defense, I don't understand what's happening. I don't see a cohesive plan. I don't see them moving with, you know, as if they understand what would happen next. It looks like they're scrambling on defense. Yeah, and just Giannis has looked a bit out of sorts at times. His numbers are roughly the same. We went over this last week.
Yeah.
They're roughly the same as the last 2 years. It just doesn't feel the same. I don't know why. It doesn't look as smooth. The number of turnovers he's had looks weirder. He looks uncomfortable at times, and it just...
Yeah.
There's been several times where, like, who was it against last week? I think it was a Toronto game. Like, he drove in the lane. He's got that where he's got the ball up high, you know, coming through, trying to, so you can't knock it out of his hands. And then he does this kick out. Who is in the corner? I think DiVincenzo's in the corner and wherever. And he just, or maybe it was Bryn. Either way, just throws it out of bounds. Misses him by like 6 feet. I was like, what's going on there? Like,
yeah,
corner three. And he just throws this nowhere. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. That's his play. Like, come in, draw in three guys, kick out three. And yeah, I just don't know. It just looks off kilter at this point. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's feel better about ourselves. We got Brewer stuff to talk about. First thing, obviously, feeling happy about here. The mayor of Ding Dong City is back. He is back. He's got the invite to camp. And he's going to have a chance to find himself, you know, playing. He's definitely going to get a chance to look at third. So,
yeah, no, I'm so excited. And it's funny because you guys talked about this last week and right after the pod dropped.
Right.
That's what we do. News came out that he was signed to a minor league deal, which it's, you know, good for him. Like, I think that he deserves that redemption. He had a little bit of a funk in 2019, but he's been playing really well. I mean, he played great with the Royals, I believe. And then Toronto, yes. And then down in AAA. So I think, you know, he needed maybe a change of scenery, different teammates. I think with the Brewers now, he's going to add that like fresh perspective that he needs. And I think he's going to be a good addition to the current infield that we've got going on.
I certainly hope so. It's a nice group that they've got listed there. So, they don't even have him. I'm just trying to, I look, because we were talking about right when they signed, Wong, we went and looked at maybe they moved Hiro to first. And when you went and looked at the Brewers depth chart on their webpage, Keston Hiro is the starting first baseman.
He is. Yeah. He's been actually practicing first base down in spring training, and he looks like a natural in that position. I'm super excited to have him there.
All he's got to do is the little underhand toss. He doesn't have to any kind of weird throws. Or I'm surprised to see he's 6 feet tall.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he was like 5'10", but he's a little taller than I thought. I was like, he's like an average height guy. He's like, oh no, he's 6 foot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
he and Daniel Vogelbach are the same height. There's 68.
Vogelbach is 6 feet?
Yeah. There's 68 pounds of difference between the two of them, but that's it.
I love Vogelbach so much.
Yeah. Like I said, we all agree he is strong mad from the Homestar runner. They don't right now on the current depth chart have Travis Shaw because he's not on the 40 or whatever. He's on the chart, so he's not on the depth chart. Well, maybe he's on the 40, but he doesn't show on the active depth chart because he's
okay.
I think it's because he's an invite, so he doesn't show up there. Just trying to look at the 40 man. He's not currently listed on the 40 man roster, so that's probably it. Because he's a camp invite getting his chance, they're still listing Urias as the starting third baseman at this point. Daniel Robertson, another guy that was picked up this year.
Yeah.
Which I thought that got, looking back at it too, I was like, well, that got a lot less publicity than it probably should have. You would have thought that Robertson would have been a little bit more talked about. He had definitely higher numbers last year. His OPS, his batting average, everything was higher than Shaw last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Kind of what rounds out at third there. We're always glad to have Shaw back. He didn't break out the old jerseys and everything, at least.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. I know Aaron, didn't he get his son the Travis Shaw jersey?
That's probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's right because Aaron was very much hyped about the idea of bringing back Shaw, and I think it's a good idea too. Maybe you can give me a better understanding of this. I know the Brewers Park is generally considered kind of a hitter friendly park. It's not like Great American Ballpark, which is just hitting in a tin can.
Yeah,
but it's got kind of an average setup. There's no short porch. It's not super deep. It's not super short. It's just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a super short park. It's not smaller than other places. It's bigger than Wrigley.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it just seems like it flies well in there. Probably also just to do with, the roof or the opening windows and things like that they do there. What do people think about, is it Rogers Center? Like in Toronto, is that a place where it's easier to hit? Or, did he have a rough time playing in a different park maybe?
I don't.
I didn't know if he had a feel for that part.
Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely a fastball hitter. Mm-hmm. So I think, depending on, a lot of different factors on pitching over the last couple of years. But that's where he draws his strength from is those fastballs. Okay. I think comparatively, both fields are roughly the same. So I don't think that would play a huge difference.
Okay. I wanted to get your feel for that. Is this something interesting there? Here's one that's just come up here that I hadn't actually even heard people mention. The Brewers reportedly, quote unquote, in the mix, we'll say quote in the mix, unquote, for Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Which makes me kind of nervous because that means that Kane would likely be gone, right? I would assume so. They would keep both.
It would be an odd, depending on what you're paying him, I guess. You're just bringing another center fielder. I get the idea of taking the look. Yeah. Yahoo Rumors is reporting it too. And so is SB Nation. MLB.com's putting it up. I guess I was just trying to even see what his recent kind of the trends are. Batted 283 last year. He had a little upswing with Boston. OPS of 814, which is actually one of the higher ones of his last several years. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, like, he doesn't have good power numbers necessarily. So, he actually has one of his lower power number years ever. I don't want to get rid of Kane because his defense is so good. Just so good.
So good.
And his base path running, he's so smart on the bases.
Yes. Yeah, that is one thing that I love about Kane.
I don't know what the upside to having Bradley on, unless you're okay with putting him just on the bench and rotating him. You're saying that you got two guys who maybe need to take more days off if they've got the money for it.
Yeah. And the weird thing about Bradley is he grew up in the Red Sox organization. He started his career with them. He's kind of, developed with them. So it would be weird this late in the game, pun intended, to to leave. So that's kind of an interesting development for sure.
Yeah, Shaw was a Red Sox guy too. So that, I don't know.
That's right.
Doesn't much matter, I guess. There's no real comparison. Just I like to tell people that I know things sometimes. I like to be in this conversation too, because mostly just leaning on you to tell me stuff. I tweeted and you responded to, so we both seen the one projected batting lineup that we have here. They have Wong leading off, who'd they have? They had Lo Kane at the five spot, and mm-hmm. then possibly having blank on him. Narvaez in its sixth. I personally want Manny Pena over Narvaez, and some of that is fandom, but not all of it, because Narvaez wasn't particularly good last year. Manny was the best hitting catcher on the team.
Yeah, Manny had an excellent year last year.
Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And he was very good behind the plate too. Like it wasn't a sacrifice to get his bat to have his defense. And his offense was as good as any of the other catchers on the team at that point. I don't know. I'd rather see Manny Pena just in that spot. I'd probably put him lower than sixth in the batting order. To be entirely honest. But I'd much rather see him than Narvaez.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
All right. Feeling good about that. I'm trying to remember what Narvaez was batting last year. It's 40 game season. So he's got batting 176 with a 562 OPS. He hit four doubles, two home runs. He had 10 RBI. I'm biting my lip. It's painful to read that. I mean, he bats 267 for a career. I'm going to do this one first, but then I'm going to ask you the tougher one. And I didn't quite let you know much about this in the last one I'm going to ask. But the next one is, how much does 40 games just screw up everything? I mean, we saw the worst. I mean, Lo Kane started off and then ducked out, after they had the close contact stuff. And then, I mean, just Yelich never looked right. And then he just really never had a chance to hit out of it, because I personally think he had that kind of, there's only so much time left. I don't have time to hit my way out of a slump. I have to really push it. What are your feelings on the difference between having that 40-game season and a regular 162 kind of feel, at least, or 150, 154, wherever they're going to hear, having something more normal, changing the way this team hits?
I have mixed feelings about it. I think there is the take that with that normal regular season, they're going to have that time to really build up, to get into the groove. They're not going to have that pressure per se to be on 100% of the time every game like last year. But again, on the opposite side of that, I guess, with that shortened season, you have to be on. You have to make sure that you're giving 120% every game. There's no wiggle room for errors and to, be messy out defensively, offensively. So will it help the Brewers having a longer season? I think so, just because that's how they play best. They're used to that slow buildup. They're used to having, especially Yelich, like you said, he gets into those slumps. That's just something that happens with him. Thankfully, he's the type of player that can just get out of it, and be, incredible the next game. But they need that time. And I think this season they're going to have that. And coming off of a weird, strange year last year, they're going to have that fire. And I think, across the board on, every team in the MLB, they're going to, they're going to have this, drive to play. And I think it's going to be an incredible season to watch. I'm so excited for it to start.
I think we can all feel your excitement at the finals. It's good. It's good to see. Yeah. It's at least something hopeful here. I mean, like, if you're looking for more hope on this team, I mean, Woodruff and Burns at the top of that order. They've been talking. I think Pena was talking about this. They said he's increased Burns. That is, has improved his curve and his changeup. And you're like, man, if he's got the fastball, curve, and changeup all getting better, man, that 1-2 is going to be so good. I'm very excited for what the season could be.
Yeah, exactly.
If Hauser can figure something out, we got Lindblom and then Lauer. I've also seen some idea of, I mean, Anderson's in the rotation at some point to possibly to be into that group up there too. But yeah, that could be a very interesting group.
I think they just made the Anderson deal official today.
Okay.
Or he's officially official today.
Good. Yeah, I don't see. I'm trying to see if they've got him on the 40 right now. They don't have him listed right now on the website. Just might be because they haven't updated it yet. Still got Hader, Williams, Suter, Peralta, Yardley, Rasmussen. I gotta get this one. This, I'm trying to remember how he says this one. Fairison. J.P. Fairison.
Oh, I'm always Friesen, I think.
It's such a weird one, like F-E-Y-E-R-E-I-S-E-N. I'm gonna like him just because he's number. I'm just gonna like him because he's number 54, which is my lucky number. And I have a Brewers jersey with number 54 Barnett on the back, so I just like.
There you
him.
Go.
I instantly love whoever's number 54. Generally speaking, but yeah. The defense up the middle should be good. The pitching should be good. The Brewers should be able to stay in games if they can find a little bit of power here and there. If Shaw can find magic, if Yelich can just be himself, not to worry about so much of these things. We can just get one or two guys on. The Brewers should be in a lot of games this year. Pecota had them pick number one in the Central. Wendy's very excited about that idea. I don't know. Do you think they're going to get the Central? I mean, like, that it's a long stretch, obviously, but do you like their chances in this Central?
So the only other team, and this, it seems to be every season, it's the Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals. Yeah. The Cubs pretty much cleaned house this season. I don't think that the Cubs are really going to be contenders. I'm not so much worried about them. Cardinals, they did get Arenado, but I don't think that even with him, they're going to be as much of a worry in my mind than previous seasons. So I think, I think they honestly have a really good shot at taking the NL Central.
Wow. I still just, maybe it's just that, you know, the Cardinals are just that boogeyman of Brewer seasons past so many times. That's the one thing I'm most afraid of. Like you said, the Cardinal or the Cubs seem to have just dropped a lot of things there. And that team didn't win it last year. They're just, you know, they were an okay team that hung around a lot. I don't know. Yeah. The Cardinals are the one that scares me the most. They got Arenado for a bag of baseballs. Just in the most ridiculous trade ever.
So bad for Rockies fans right now. So bad.
Just terrible trade. All right. We're going to start seeing at least some spring training games coming up soon. Wendy, when's the first one they've got? I'm trying to see when their spring training schedule kicks in.
March, I want to say 2nd, but I could be wrong. It's the first weekend in March, I believe.
Looks like there's a White Sox at the White Sox on February 28th.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then Diamondbacks, Athletics, Padres, Indians, Rockies, and Cubs all through that first week.
Nice. So that should be interesting. Yeah, I may be going down to spring training.
That'd be fun. That Padres one would be fun to see. that team is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so we have walked through. We've got you back up. I think at this point, everybody feeling, you know, back to normal, right? We're talking baseball. We're feeling. We've got some confidence now. We're back to confidence.
Feeling good. We're feeling great.
We started with some Packer hope a little bit there, and then we kind of ducked down with basketball, and then we're coming back up. But we're gonna wrap up the last couple things we wanted to talk about here, in a segment that we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Wendy. So the couple things I wanted to talk about, we have, first off, hockey. Badgers really let one get away in terms of men's hockey this last week. It was massively hurtful. They got down 2-0 in Notre Dame on the Saturday game and then came back and scored the next 4 goals. Notre Dame, very defensive-minded team. They don't generally score a ton. So to give up 2 goals, which were within the first, geez, like the first 10 minutes, they were down 2-0. And then for the next 50 minutes, they outscored them 4-0. You know, nice game. Linus Weisbach played a phenomenal game. Got a bunch of, he got, I think, the go-ahead and then maybe the final shot. I know he got in the empty net. So, yeah, great game by senior. He got his 100th career point in that game. He did it in 119 games. So, congratulations to Linus Weisbach. The team did not quite do enough in the second game, though. Very similar situation. They gave up a goal within like a minute. It was immediately 1-0 Notre Dame. Badgers came right back, tied it up before the end of the period. Second period, Cole Caulfield gets involved in the scoring. I think Pelton Bryce also had one there. It was 3-1 at the end of two. And you're feeling very good because it's a defensive-minded Notre Dame, unranked, defensive-minded Notre Dame. Notre Dame scores 4 goals in 7 minutes in the third period. Badgers scored a couple there, and it was a 5-4 game heading into the last minute. Badgers had a they pulled the goalie. They get a faceoff in the Notre Dame zone. There's something like 30 seconds left. They win the faceoff cleanly. Pelton Bryce just immediately snapshot right off the faceoff, top shelf right over the goalie, ties the game with the man advantage with the empty net. That you don't see it very frequently. It was really fun to watch. And then they just frittered away the overtime. It was ridiculous how poorly they played in that overtime. They went into, it's 3-on-3, which is awesome to watch. The Badgers immediately commit a penalty on a stupid, stupid penalty. And so it becomes 4-on-3. When the penalty ends, it goes to 4-on-4 because they bring a guy on rather than making the other team send someone off. So it's choking up the ice on what should have been a massive advantage for the Badgers. Ends up going to a shootout. Badgers losing the shootout. They get 1 point for the tie, but they're now 4 points behind Minnesota in the Big Ten. Badger women continue to roll. They take it this weekend again. They have 14 of the 15 number one votes right now. Northeastern out there in Massachusetts ends up getting 1 point or 1 vote for first place. Ohio State in third, Minnesota in fourth. Wisconsin gets to play Minnesota Duluth this weekend. I think they've got the WCHA all but wrapped up at this point. They'll be number one seed again. Women's hockey continues to roll. They beat Bemidji State 7-0. Oh, I'm sorry. This is last week. They didn't play games this week, I guess, but they just continue to be in here. I think if Minnesota Duluth would have lost last week, they would have wrapped it all up. They just got to win 1 of 2 against number 7 Duluth, and they'll wrap up the WCHA for what will be the 5th time in 6 years. That women's team is fantastic. Do yourselves a favor if you can find them. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's Big Ten Plus, so they make you go look for it. In WIAC actually started hockey a couple weeks ago, so there's actually some D3 hockey going on in Wisconsin right now. It looks like St. Norbert might have opted out of the season. They're not playing in the NCHA right now, but UW-Eau Claire off to a 4-1 start. Their only loss is to UW Stevens Point, which are their fourth and eighth in the country right now. But a lot of the polls are a little behind because they've only been playing for like 2 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see how that season goes. It'll be interesting to watch as we go forward. So at least a shortened season of some kind for what could have been a really great stretch down the end. Stevens Point and Eau Claire were great last year. Eau Claire probably had one of their best chances at a national championship in a couple years last year and didn't get a chance to play that tournament out. As I said, NCHA doesn't have anybody going in terms of men's, but I'm trying to see if I had anything for women's. No, nothing there for women's D3. In other news, Wisconsin was going to wrestle this last week in a game or in a match that they would have definitely lost badly because they were going to go up against number one Iowa. Due to COVID risks, that match was canceled. I believe the next thing they'll have coming up is getting ready for the Big Ten championship match. So Badgers aren't going to win that. The Badger wrestling or the Big Ten wrestling is just stacked. Iowa, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Minnesota, just stacked. Badgers are 19th. They won't finish probably top five in the Big Ten, though. So it's a rough row there. Another thing, if you really want to see great Wisconsin sports right now, the women's volleyball team is fantastic. They win again against Michigan State this week, 3-0, 3-1. They've dropped two sets all year now. They're 10-0. So it's twice they won 3-1. Twice they've won 3-1. Everything else has been a clean 3-0. This week is going to be fantastic. I know it's going to be on Big Ten Network because it's number one, one of three undefeated teams left at this point. Number one, Wisconsin. Actually, it might be one of only two. I think Minnesota lost this week because they were playing Nebraska. Nebraska and Minnesota, I believe, split this week. But Wisconsin's going to take Nebraska. That was number four. They were number four coming into the weekend, Nebraska. And Nebraska played number five, Minnesota, which was awesome to watch. But yeah, well, check that out. Number one, Wisconsin, undefeated Wisconsin. Women's sports saving Wisconsin right now, I think. I mean, like, quite literally, go watch those games. Women's hockey and the volleyball team have been incredible. This is last year's runner-up for volleyball national champion and last year's what would have been another championship for Wisconsin hockey. Essentially still defending champs, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Both those teams are phenomenally great. Fun to watch. Anything else you're watching, Wendy, that you want to let anyone know about?
You know, I'm just glad that sports are a thing. I remember right around this time last year, I was in a very deep, dark hole of depression because we were slowly losing baseball and football and hockey and basketball and all of the things that make my heart so happy. So to have sports back in a relatively safe capacity is just the best thing ever.
And outdoor hockey this last weekend in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah. That rink was just next level.
I was just remembering that about a year ago, we were Aaron and I were getting you involved in the wiffle ball league.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those were
a lot of wiffle ball, cornhole, marble racing.
Yes. Oh, that's right. We did watch marble. Big Cat was putting in a lot of marble racing. And I watched Big Cat play a lot of NCAA football, too. That was pretty sad. It was fun, though. All right, Wendy, thank you again for being such a wonderful co-host, bringing stats and everything here. It's been fantastic to talk with you and feeling good about baseball and everything else coming ahead here. So thank you for joining us. It's wonderful. Everybody, make sure you get on Twitter. Go follow at WendyLouHoo3. Follow her. She's fantastic. You'll feel better about sports. You'll feel better. You'll feel smarter about sports. Just go do it. She has a wonderful feed. You have a wonderful feed. It always makes me feel happy to watch. A lot of
thank you.
Brings out a lot of laughter too. There's a lot of fun points there. Always good to follow that. Remember, you can follow this podcast at Scani Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. Yeah. So thank you again for another wonderful week, everybody, and we'll see you next week. I don't think we'll have Aaron back. We'll see what else we can do. You know, maybe I'll put my 14-year-old on here with me. We'll see what goes on. But remember, everybody, whether you're on the town or on the go or safe at home on the couch, just remember, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scani Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScaniJohnny1 or online at ScaniJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.